when our Lord was speaking to the crowd, a beggar came. He fell down before Christ and called out his name. The disciples quickly came, and they turned the man away, till they saw the Lord's compassion, and they heard the Savior say,
and you can make up your own mind. You can be your own God. Eve, don't you know that experience is the best teacher? We often say that experience is the best teacher, and I'm sure that that is true for a lot of things in our world. But friend, listen to me. When it comes to sin, experience is the worst teacher. It is a terrible teacher. And those who are in deepest into sin are those who know least about it. There's just something about sin that blinds and short-circuits the mind and the reason. And the Bible says that Eve listened to the devil, and she partook, and her husband partook, and all of humanity was plunged into sin. And Eve experienced knowledge that no one would ever want to experience. And she knew good by the absence of good, and she knew evil by the presence of evil and the power of evil. And all of this world was plunged into sin. And in Adam, we all die. We are all thieves. We are all sinners. Death-dealing powers, destructive powers. Oh, the sin that's in our world today. It doesn't take long to know our world is filled with sin by just turn on the news and watch it for 5 minutes. Oh, the anguish of sin. Oh, the heartache, the ruin, the moan, the groan, the woe of sin. And all of these things came to pass because Adam had to experience it for himself. He had to know what was right and what was wrong. You know, we are living in a generation today of that experimental attitude. You can't tell me what is right and what is wrong. You can't tell me what I need to do. I don't have to listen to God. I don't have to listen to anyone. I will live my own life. I will be my own God. And so what do? They experiment. They taste sin. You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It doesn't say taste and see that sin is evil, that sin is powerful, that sin is destructive. No, the Bible says, flee fornication. Get away from sin as far as you can. The Bible says that all of humanity is plunged into sin. I read the story of a young lady who had kept herself pure. She was a virgin, and everyone ought to keep themselves a virgin until they're married. Everyone ought to do that. God's word commands that. The Bible says flee fornication. And this young lady, she had kept herself pure, and she was tempted by another young lady to sacrifice that purity. And the other young lady, she was living in this world, and she was her own God. And you know, there's just something about sin that makes people want to spread it and want other people to join in. There's just something about sin that people become evangelists for sin. You know, that's what Hollywood does every single day. They are evangelists for sin. They want everyone else to join in with their attitude and their sin. And she was trying to coach this young lady to join in her activity. And the other girl, she was pure. She was clean. She had kept herself chaste. And she was saving herself for that man that she was going to marry. But this young girl, she was of the experimental orientation. And so she was trying to coach this other young girl to follow her pathway. And she was saying things like, how do you know it's wrong if you don't try it? Or she was saying, how do you know you won't like it? How do you know you got to try it? You got to join in. And you know what that young lady who was pure said to the other young lady that was trying to promote or evangelize that lifestyle and that sin? She said something important for all of us. She said, let me tell you something. Anytime I wish to become like you, I can. She said, but anytime you would ever again like to be like me, you never can. You see, that's a thought, isn't it? There's just something about sin that tries to pull us in, this attraction of sin that we would try to experiment, that wet paint sign, that do not walk in on the grass, that we just have to touch it, we just have to see, we just have to be our own God. We'll determine what is good and what is evil. God said, don't touch it. Listen, friend, that should be enough. That should be enough. And so the Bible says, and in the garden, God placed a tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And man would make a moral choice to decide whether they would obey God or they would disobey God. But there's another tree and another garden. I want us to think about the similarities of Calvary's tree. Friend, listen to me. On that tree, the Son of God died. Let's think about the evil. Let's think about sin first. You know, I think it's impossible for us to perceive sin until we look at Calvary's tree. I think it's impossible for us to see sin the way sin has been painted in the Bible if we take from our mind the cross of Jesus Christ. And there are churches today, they don't want to talk about the cross. They don't want to talk about the blood of Jesus. No, they want to take that out of the message. They want to take sin away from the sermon. But friend, listen to me. As we live our life, we might begin to think that the human race is okay. We might begin to think that, yeah, you know what? It is just a malfunction. It's just a program that's not right, and that humanity may be just kind of a stumble in life, and it's really not that bad until you take a look at Calvary, until you see the Son of God who's bleeding and dying on a cross. Until you see the precious Savior, until you see the awfulness of sin, the hellishness of sin, until you see the death-dealing power of sin, sin so powerful that the only way that God the Father could take care of it was to send his only begotten Son, Jesus, to deal with its power and its grip on humanity. What I'm saying to you is that the knowledge of sin is beheld at the cross when you see the very presence of wickedness, that he who was perfect and holy became my sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God. We see the power of wickedness and the penalty of wickedness on the cross. Now, the Bible explains and describes the Lord Jesus like this. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin. Think about it for a moment. The crystal Christ, the sinless Savior, the Son of God becoming our sin. He died for you. He died as you. He took your place. The Bible says, him who knew no sin, God have made him to be sin. God have made him to be sin. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8 in your Bible, and I want us to look at this interesting passage of Scripture for just a moment. Romans chapter 8. I hope you're still with me this morning. Romans chapter 8, look what the Bible says, and verse number 32. Romans chapter 8, the 8th chapter, and then verse 32. The Bible says it this way, the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, the 32nd verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? I hope you didn't miss it there. The Bible says that God the Father spared not his own son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, sometimes in our world, within theological greats and people that will talk about the Bible, oftentimes the conversation will come up, well, who crucified the Lord Jesus? People say, well, the Jews crucified the Lord Jesus. And yes, they were a part of humanity, but I'll suggest to you that the Gentiles were just as guilty because it was my sin that nailed him there. And some will say, well, yeah, it was the Romans that nailed Jesus. And yes, they were a part of it. They nailed him to the cross. And people will say, well, yeah, but it was Pilate. And yes, Pilate gave the order. But friend, listen to me and listen to me clearly. It was God the Father that nailed Jesus to the cross. You see, the Bible says before the foundation of the world, God knew that Calvary would take place. A free will was given, and God knew that man would want to be their own God and would become a thief and would plunge humanity into sin. And yet the Bible says that God still created this world and God still created us because of the love of God. Of the love of God. And the Bible says he spared not his own son. You see, when God the Son became sin, he took upon him the judgment of my sin and the judgment of your sin. And if there was ever a time, sometimes when I talk to people, people will say, well, yeah, you know, I'm going to go to heaven and God's just going to overlook my sin. If there was ever a time in the history of humanity that God was going to overlook sin, it would have been the time when his own son was going to bear the punishment of my sin and your sin. It would have been the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross and he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And yet the Bible says that God spared not his own son. Listen to me clearly today and write it down and write it large and keep it in your heart. Your sin will be pardoned in Christ or it will be punished in hell. But God will not overlook sin. He will not overlook sin. When we look at Calvary, that second tree, we see the sin of man nailed to the Son of God. But listen to me, friend. Not only do we see the tree of evil and of sin, but we also see the tree of good, because God is a good God and he's a loving God. And on that cross, he died for the sins of the whole world. He died for you. And he died for me. And friend, when we look at the cross, we look at the goodness of God. We look at the grace of God. We look at the righteousness of God and the majesty of God. That he would die for my sin. Friend, listen to me. The heavens declare the glory of God, but the cross declares the grace of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, but the cross declares the grace of God, that he would die while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And we find life and happiness and peace through him. I see the placement of these trees. I see in the scripture the purpose of these trees, but hey, don't check out yet. We're not done yet. I want us to think about the power of these trees. The power of these trees. Now, the first tree had the power to make a man a thief. He was of the experimental type. He took of that fruit. He ate of that fruit. And what did he become? He became a thief. He stole from God. Now, can you imagine stealing from God? Adam stole from God, and he became a thief. And the Bible says that he was cast out of paradise. He was kicked out of the garden, the Bible says. In fact, if we take our Bibles and go to the book of Genesis once again, in chapter 3, look what the Bible says, Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 23. The Bible says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. He was kicked out of paradise. He became a thief, and he was kicked out of God's wonderful paradise. The Bible says in verse 23, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And so, verse 24, so he drove out the man. The word there, drove out, means to forcibly, to push him out. He forced them out of the garden, the Bible says. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. The Bible says that the first tree had the power to make a man a thief and to kick him out of paradise. This is wonderful. I want you to turn to the book of the Gospel of Luke in chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 in our Bibles. Luke chapter 23. Look what the Bible says. Chapter 23 and verse number 39. Luke chapter 23 verse 39. The Bible says this, verse 39. The Bible says, in one of the malefactors, the malefactor there is an evildoer. In other gospels, the Bible speaks of him as a thief. And the Bible says, in one of the malefactors, one of the thieves were hanged. That speaks of the fact that he was crucified. He was hanging on the cross, and he railed on him. That's the Son of God. That's Jesus. And he railed on him, and he said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answering rebuked him and said, dost thou not fear God? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, we indeed justly. He says, don't you fear God? Don't you know that we are getting what we deserve? But this man has done nothing to deserve this cross. In fact, he's taking my cross. In simple faith, he puts his trust in the Son of God. And look what the Bible says in verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today you'll be with me in paradise. Wow. The first tree had the power to make a man a thief and to kick him out of paradise. And the second tree and the Son of God has the power to make a thief clean and to bring him into paradise. Wow. Wow. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that he trusted in the Lord. He put his faith in Christ. And I'm here to tell you, our world is in a dilemma today. I mean, everyone is trying to figure out how to solve this problem. We have the industrialist. He's saying we need to work our way out. And we have the financier. He's saying we need to buy our way out. And the philosopher says we need to think our way out. And the boozer says we need to drink our way out. And the brawler says we need to fight our way out. And the deceiver says we need to bluff our way out. But Jesus says, I am your way out. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The power of these two trees. In one moment, a thief becomes the child of God. This is wonderful. I mean, in one moment, a moment of faith, this man couldn't give anything. He had nothing to give. He was crucified on a cross, hanging naked on the cross. This man couldn't work for Jesus. His hands were nailed to this cross. This man couldn't be baptized. He was nailed to a cross. The reality is that one spoonful or one tankful of water can't wash away our sins. This man, all he could say is in faith, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the power of that second tree, he partook, and he became a child of God in faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Let me ask you this question today. Do you know Christ as your Savior? The story is told of a famous astronomer. And this famous astronomer was famous for all of his writing and his education. And he changed the concepts of what man would think about the universe and how the universe would run. He was just a brilliant man. And before he died, he wrote a letter before he died. And this is what he said in the letter. He said, Lord, I do not ask the kindness that thou didst show to Peter. I do not ask the grace that thou didst grant to Paul, but Lord, the mercy that you showed a dying thief. Let me ask you this question. Do you crave that mercy today? Are you lost in your sin and you're in a dilemma and you don't know how to get out? And friend, I'll be honest with you. You're on your way to hell without Christ. And Jesus is the way. The power of the cross can wash your sins away. Now think about this in conclusion and meditate on this thought. In the Garden of Eden, the devil did everything in his power to get Adam and Eve to take of that first tree. And I'll tell you something, friend. The devil is doing everything in his power to keep you from taking the second tree, the cross of Christ, and that atonement for your sin. He wants you to die and go to hell. He doesn't want you to get saved. He doesn't want you to come to Christ. But the Bible teaches us in a simple invitation. The Bible says that all that is thirsty come, that you may enjoy the water of life freely. God help us today. I'm here to tell you that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know why? It is the power of God unto salvation. God help us today to preach that wonderful message. And friend, I want to say to you today, listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, God brought you here this morning to get saved because He loves you and He wants you to be a part of His family. Don't let the devil try to get you to walk away without coming to Christ this morning. Let's pray for each other. Lord, thank you for the message. Thank you for your word. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would do a work in our lives.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236, or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
Weak ends can make for strong beginnings, especially when you start each week with RE Recovery. They meet at Kitchener Baptist Church every Friday night at 7. Whatever you're struggling with, drugs, alcohol, pornography, tobacco, or any other behavioral problems like anger or depression, believe me, RE Recovery offers the help you need. Plus, you'll make some great new friends who understand what you're going through. And RE Recovery is open to people from all walks of life, any faith or no faith. Anybody who is just seeking to find something that works. I'm telling you, if you live better, you'll feel better. So why not make this your weekend for strong beginnings with RE Recovery? RE Recovery meets at Kitchener Baptist Church, 1720 Glasgow Street, every Friday night at 7 p.m. For more information, go to RERecovery.org or call 226-336-7680. That is RERecovery.org, 226-336-7680.